Mazen Hayek. Do I pronounce it, your name correctly?
Mazen Hayek, yes.
Mazen Hayek serves as an official spokesman and group director of public relations and commercial at Middle East Broadcast Corporation. Welcome. It's a pleasure and honor to have you.
Thank you, Dr. Babuna. Thank you for having me. As you know, I'm in Istanbul on a break, on a family break, but I couldn't resist your invitation. So here I am talking to you and to your esteemed viewers.
Thank you very much. We are in the historical state of Istanbul, right at the front of Bosphorus, actually.
Absolutely.
So I will have some questions for you.
Please.
We have a well-known TV person in the Middle East. Please tell us about yourself and what it's like to be spokesperson of NBC Group, which owns 14 television stations, and Absolutely. What are the cons and pros of your position?
Well, you're as good as your last statement, so you could. Your job is very sensitive. The importance of doing this job is to have the trust of the senior management, the access to information and to senior management, and the empowerment. These are the three things for a spokesman or spokeswoman to remain in the job. Otherwise, you could go wrong. And in most of the cases, colleagues in the press would expect me to know everything all the time about anything that is happening in the group, which is not true. I don't know everything, but I try to have access to everything. And thanks to the support, trust, and empowerment of the chairman of the group, Sheikh Waeed Ibrahim, and to the CEO and to the vice chairman, I have access to senior level decision making, and I'm empowered to talk on behalf of the group. Without all of these elements, you can't do your job properly. In many cases, I ask for some time to validate information, to check things, and I tell my colleagues, please don't expect me to have all the answers all the time, and I hope I don't fail you, and I'll investigate and come back to you. So, you know, these days they expect you to respond on a tweet. So you're at a dinner and suddenly your telephone rings. And so tell me, Dr. Babuna tweeted about this. What is NBC's reply to this? I said, come on. I mean, we're not in a 24/7 press conference. This is the challenge a bit of you getting into, the hasty part or the non-prepared part. I'd like to be well rehearsed. I'd like to represent the group that has more than 2,600 employees, bright people, the largest media group in the Arab world by far. We're the leaders in the market. And that's a responsibility for me. I have to be up to it and give justice to those great team family of NBC.
Yeah, that's a great responsibility. Please tell us about your network. Arabia is also well known in Turkey as a respected news source.
It's true. Al Arabiya News Channel and Al Hadath are our two news channel and current affairs channel. Al Arabiya is known for news, not views. You don't watch Al Arabiya and see people shouting. There is no exaggeration. There is no distortion of the news. We never carried terrorist networks rhetoric. We even in the good days of the rise, unfortunately, of Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden, we never gave them platform.
Yes.
We covered the news part of what they were doing, but we were always vigilant not to give them a platform to start using us to promote their... So never show mutilated bodies, never portray them as heroes, which they're not,
yes.
They're criminals. And we try to stick to the news, away from a lot of views, a lot of analytics, and a lot of people shouting and exaggerating on the screen.
Actually, we know very well your line of policy, because two of my colleagues, Ms. Aylin Kocaman and Ms. Ceylan Öztürk, are writing.
Absolutely.
They
write to Arabiya, yeah. They write to Sharq al-Awsat,
yeah. Yeah.
A leading London-based regional Arab, pan-Arab newspaper. We know them. They're well-read. They're good people.
Very good news source. So what are your plans on enhancing it further for your network?
On which front?
Plans?
Future plan for the network beyond
plan.
News?
Yeah.
Look, the challenge today remains in content, so that you have to produce and own the best premium content, bar none. So we're the house of the best local productions, Arab Idol, Arabs Got Talent, The Voice, now X Factor, and the biggest formats. We have also Hollywood blockbusters, the best movies. We have NBC2 and NBC Max, which are the equivalent of HBO in the States, right. So free-to-air. So the best from Hollywood, the best from Bollywood. Obviously, the large formats. I said Idol, Got Talent, The Voice, X Factor, and others. Local productions. We're very good at local production, soaps, drama, etc. Ramadan, and we're in Ramadan, so we say Ramadan Kareem to your viewers.
Inshallah.
And add to this, so the challenge is to continue owning strong content. The other challenge is to look at technology, how technology is affecting people consuming media. The third challenge is to look at distribution avenues beyond satellite and cable to see how you can get to greater markets. Fourth is obviously commercial, how you can monetize all of this investment and still be profitable and get your revenues. Cost is also a challenge for us, so you have to make sure you're on top of cost cutting. And the basics, which are multi-platform delivery. So we're a converged media group beyond TV screen. Today, viewers watch, tweet, or they're on Facebook, and they are on multi-platform. So we have, for a couple of years now, played the multi-platform, multi-touchpoint delivery game. And we do it very well. We've discovered, Dr. Banuna, in recent days, that TV is the driving source behind social media in our region.
Right.
And it's the bridge of the conversation between TV and social media. So if there's a big news on Arab Idol, suddenly Twitter or Facebook go really, really big. And not the other way around. So TV is the driving force. It remains the dominant source of news, information, and entertainment in the Arab world.
Yeah, I agree. TV is, well, you know, you have also become instrumental in bringing the Gümüş to the Middle Eastern audience. How did the series Gümüş, Aşkın Memnu, Aşkın Memnu, affect people of the Middle East, and what has been your observations?
We love this. I smile because these are my greatest memories from 2008. Yeah. I remember when Kivanch Tatlıtuğ and my dear Songül Öden came to Dubai. They didn't expect this amount of popularity and fame in our region. We're proud as NBC to be the ones behind bringing Turkish soaps to the Arab world and dubbing them into Arabic, into Syrian spoken Arabic. And when we started with Aşk Memnu' and Gümüş, and Lal Hamur, I mean, there was another one. We started three big ones. They were big, big, big hits.
I know. I observed it myself, actually. Spoke many people in Palestine. Everybody knew about this.
So suddenly, I remember that trip of Songül and then later on Kivanch and Aisha Valer. They came and they were stunned with the kind of popularity they had in the Arab world. Then another big moment in Ramadan 2008, we were, Songül, Aisha Valer and I were holding a press conference in Beirut in Ramadan to announce the ratings figures of Gümüş. Just to tell your viewers, give them a perspective. Gümüş final in August, double up episode, in August 2008 was watched by 85 million viewers. Out of which 50 million women, which is more than half the adult female population of the Arab world. So it was really big. So when we came into the conference room with Songül, the press, our colleagues, started clapping because it was big. It was. So I tell you, drama is very strong in building bridges. I know that you're interested in this. The kind of bridges we build between Turkey and the Arab world, maybe you would have needed 10 years of advertising and promotion campaign and tourism to project the beauty of Turkey the way we did through Turkish drama. Right. It was very strong. And it was evidenced by skyrocketing number of visas, tourists from the Arab world coming to Turkey. So it was really the best that Turkey could have hoped for through drama.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you very much for that also. And also, we know that your reality TV talent shows generally dominate the ratings.
Yes.
And Is that so also in the airport? And I'm asking you because we know that you have been in the jury of several talent shows, such as The Voice, Arab Idol, as you said, and just a little while ago, and Arab's Got Talent.
Yes. I mean, I couldn't get the first part of the question, but just tell me.
Is it also so in the airport, these talent shows, general down
yes.
ratings?
Talent shows are very strong in ratings. I'll tell you for a simple reason. The Arab world, Middle East, North Africa region, has nearly half of its population under the age of 25. So you're talking about nearly 150 million persons under the age of 25 and 30. So this is a region that has very, very, very young population.
Exactly.
And talent shows are not only appealing on TV, because we consider them as a platform of artistic and TV self-expression for the youth of the region. You know, these young Arabs need someone to take care of them, to create jobs for them, to create, to give them a decent education, to give them hope, and to let them express themselves, not only by voting or by sanctioning, but by being able to be creative. And that's what these talent shows do for them. So last year, Arab Idol 2, the Palestinian who won, Mohammed Assaf, became an exceptional
hero, right?
National hero in Palestine throughout the Arab world. He became an ambassador for the UN, for UNRWA. The president of the Palestinian Authority gave him a diplomatic status. He went beyond being a winner of a TV show.
Right.
So this is, for us, very, very, very important.
Yeah. How are the recent developments in the Middle East affected the entertainment business?
Look, today they're not affecting the entertainment business. They are affecting the news business. Since the Arab Spring, our colleagues in Arabiya and Al Hadath have been working, really, we say 24/7, but a series of 24/7 ongoing for the last couple of years. It hasn't stopped. Unfortunately, the way things have turned to be in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, now it's stable in Egypt, but it didn't look good as an outcome. And that's unfortunate for all of us, because we're Arabs, we love the region, and we know that people would like to have a better tomorrow. And I don't want to get into politics, but today the horizon looks gloomy, and when you see extremist groups taking over state apparatus and threatening people, you can't be feeling good about it. This is a source of worry for all of us, I think.
Right.
And moderates from all walks of life need to make sure that they voice their concerns and they are vocal, and we all build a better tomorrow. Otherwise, it's going to be scary.
Yeah. So of course, there is a role of show business in the cross-cultural exchange.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about that? And can we have your opinion?
It's very important. We tend to say, for instance, for Al Arabiya, Dr. Babuna, we try and say we break news and build bridges.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, yes, you break news, but we're the channel that carried, Al Arabiya carried the first sit-down interview of President Obama on his first term. And we try to create these common grounds between cultures, because the alternative for this is scary. So if we don't build bridges between Arab world and Turkey, or between the Arab world and the West, or between the Arab world and Asia, or India, between enlightened people, open, moderate, who believe in common grounds,
right.
The alternative is bloody and scary and ugly.
Definitely.
and threatens all of us together.
Right. But
so
this is because of the bigotry. I mean, this is wrong mentality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we build common grounds. We try and give voices to everyone.
Yes.
What we don't accept is when a group tells you you're biased, we don't appear on your screen because you're against us. We tell them, appear and voice your concerns, and they come back and tell you, no, you either change your editorial policy or we don't appear. So this is blackmail, this is not news. We don't accept it. No matter how they are strong and no matter how they are outlaw or paramilitary or you name it. We're used to this, but we believe in the common grounds between people. We're open. You come to NBC, you come to Al Arabiya, you find like-minded people. You're going to feel as if you're at Channel 9 and or you're in at home in Turkey. And that's part of our role, I think, in this world full of hatred, full of blood, full of criminals who are misusing religion to try and portray themselves as saviors while they are pure criminals. And we're not shy about it. We say it loud and clear, these are criminals, and don't take them for saviors, and don't take them for good people. These are criminals hijacking religion and misusing religion for their own sake.
So what do you think about the increasing shift to the internet to watch TV productions there, and what are the implications of this trend for the future of TV and film production?
Absolutely. TV remains the dominant source of information and entertainment and news in the Arab world and in the world. Nothing comes close to TV. But internet is growing. Advertising on online advertising is growing. It's estimated this year in the Arab world at around $400 or $450 million, up from $50 a couple of years ago. So it's nearly doubling every year. Online is big. The young audiences are consuming a lot of online content, but it is complementary to TV. It's not competing with TV. We see it as a driving force, as a support force. We don't see it as a competitor to us. So we embrace new media and digital ahead of time.
Yes.
At Al Arabiya, we merged the on-screen newsroom with a digital newsroom. So the team that gathers every day twice to discuss, the editorial team, you have the online team and the on-screen team merged a couple of years ago.
Right.
Internet is big. Probably with IPTV, with broadband, with access to Wi-Fi anytime, anywhere, smart cities, we're all connected. How you consume media on mobile devices is different from how you consume it on fixed devices than from TV. So probably you need to produce original content for each type of device. What you produce for TV, you need to tailor make it or even produce it originally to mobile. You're not going to watch Arab Idol for 3-4 hours on a mobile device. And that's that, we know it, but definitely internet with the advancement of telco, it will continue growing, but at the same pace in the Arab world as TV. TV remains the not only dominant source of news and entertainment, but TV is the virtual family member of every Arab family.
Right.
And you go to a serious meeting, you go to a head of state, or you go to a minister, or to a central banker, you come to the meeting and TV is on in the background.
Right.
And it's always either an NBC channel or Arabiya channel. So TV is part of our socio-cultural life.
Definitely, yeah.
Unlike in the West, where TV is just to consume entertainment, for us, TV is on all day long. It's part of our work, part of our family, part of our life. And people love TV, and we love them for that because it's mutual. They give us top ratings. They give us loyalty. We give them back the best TV and multimedia experience in the Arab world for free. We are non-encrypted. We are free to air. And they get from NBC what usually is paid TV. They get it for free. And we're only able to do this because of their loyalty and advertising support.
Yes. So what do you have to say in the terms of comparing the means of cultural exchange which were available at a couple of centuries ago and today?
I'm not an expert in public diplomacy and cultural exchange, but I can tell you that probably today the speed of the free flow of ideas, the speed of exchange is way superior to anything else. Is it being done enough? Probably not. When I rest on my lawyers and said it's done enough is when I don't see hatred, when I don't see extremists, when I don't see car bombers, when I don't see people hitting buildings or kidnapping innocent people. This is when I think enough is done for cross-cultural, cross-religious exchange. So I think we still have a lot to do. I don't know how the past it was done. I think today there is the opportunity of communication, the opportunity that ICT gives us, information and communication technology, to do more. I don't think we're doing more. Probably the big forums a la Davos or the big think tanks need to also work more on tackling real issues and bringing people closer than just celebrities and heads of state and famous people telling their experiences, which is very important.
Right. I definitely agree with you. So we are coming to the end of this beautiful discussion, actually. Can we have your last message to the Turkish nation and to the Islamic world, actually, to the entire Islamic world?
First of all, my message is to you. Thank you for your time. And for the viewers of Channel 9, thank you for watching. I love being in Turkey. This is a beautiful country. I'm impressed by many things in Turkey. I'm impressed by how people love their country. The patriotism is amazing. You know, this is a sense, as a Lebanese I say it, I appreciate and admire them, how they love their country, how much patriotic they are. And that's very important when you love your country, when you work for it. I admire them for what they did in terms of GDP growth, of economic growth. I mean, this is a country that has quadrupled probably its GDP over the years. Yeah. I admire them how they kept this country clean and green, and there is urbanism, how it's open, liberal, secular. I mean, you're in a very open place, modern, welcoming, hospitable. This is a great, great nation. I tell them, see the positive side of Turkey, because I read a lot about politics. I know that people are sometimes frustrated with things, others are not. I tell them, think of the bright side of Turkey. You have the stability, you have the aura, the grandeur, the big image, the strong nation. Done. And enjoy Turkey.
Okay. Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure and honor for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.